think it's been tied in with just we are hopeful because we have a memory, right? A memory, memory is hope is situated in the memory, and so salvation history is meant to give us a reason for hope, even if our own personal history is not full of good experiences, right? So that's what the gift of the scriptures and the gift of our church is that even if I have had a tremendously horrible childhood, even if I had a terribly horrible experience growing up, whatever it is, there is always reason for hope, but it might be harder to see in my own personal life. But if I look at the experience of the church, of the wider body of Christ, I can see God's saving activity, and I can look and see, I mean, even just last night, we were talking very much, we have right now, we're gifted that somebody brought us the Shroud of Turin Institute. They gave us the life-size replica for this week of the Shroud of Turin. And so we just really talked about that in the context of Eucharistic adoration, of saying, how did this image get created? Well, this image, we don't know exactly how it got created, but the best guess right now is that it's several billion watts of vacuum UV radiation that basically the whole body that was wrapped in the shroud emitted light from every part of it. And in a 3D way that the cloth collapsed inward on the body as the light was being emitted. So you have a couple things going on here. You have the body is becoming mechanically transparent so that cloth can pass through it, and it's emitting this amount of light that is only light radiation, because if it were heat radiation, it would totally incinerate the shroud. And so they're saying, okay, it's a burst of light. And what does our Lord say? I am the light of the
world,
right? You know, and it's like, how bright is that light? Well, in the light of transfiguration, right, when the disciples go up the mountain, they see a bit of that light, and it's so blinding. And we're like, yeah, the first moment of glory is going to be the light of God. And just seeing that the Lord promises, you know, the Father has given to the Son life in himself, and he can give life to whomever he wishes. And so the proof of that is the resurrection, right? And so then we look at the Shroud of Turin, we see that God is capable of doing this, and in fact, he is doing it. And when we look at the Eucharist, we see that is, in fact, the Lord pouring forth his grace right now from our altars.
Hmm.
So the light of God is being poured out. And so, like, if you're sad about anything, it's like you're not remembering who you are, you're not remembering who your God is. Like, we have to go back to him, because that's the foundation of our hope, is to look to him, and that you may be enlightened. Right? Put your cares upon him, because he cares for you, right? You know, so if we're lacking hope, it's usually because we're relying upon ourselves or our own way of trying to figure out how my history makes sense. But when we look at him, his light irradiates all of our history, quite literally.
Wow.
And gives us grace, you know. So I'm just, like, nights of hope and healing, but just perpetual adoration, just all these things, like, and just seeing God's grace active through the working of his ministers in the church and through the sacraments. The sacraments, the catechism says, are powers that come from the body of Christ, right? So it's like the power that would just burst forth on the day of the resurrection is in the Eucharist. It is in confession. It is in baptism. His power is pouring out through these things. Even if you've never seen a physical healing before, you recognize that through every sacrament that is celebrated by the church, that his power is still pouring out. So we have reason to hope then, because he hasn't abandoned us. He's right here.
Wow. Thank you, Father Mark. I think people are responding to those words, as we can hear. And we look to the Lord, and his power is poured out onto us through the church and through the sacraments. And it's beautiful.
And I think the thing we look at, and I even talked about it last night, so you can look it up if you want to go to our YouTube channel, you can see the healing night last night, but just was bringing up, like, the reason why there's a lot of miracles that happen right now, and it's not just in our parish, but all throughout the United States and in Catholic and Protestant context, there's a lot of healings that are happening, a lot of miracles that are happening, and we wonder why. We look in the Bible, there's three times when there's a lot of healing miracles. It's the Exodus, the time of Elijah, and the time of Jesus in the church. And in every one of those times, it's because there is unbelief, paganism, and idolatry, right? And there's this emphasis on trying to show who the real God is, right? First over the gods of Egypt, and then Israel has abandoned God, and so Elijah's calling him back from the prophets of Baal. And then Jesus, he's coming into a very conflicted time in Jewish history where they've been corrupted by political power, and so he's calling them back to the original holiness and showing them that I am God, right? You know, Jesus, and so we see that in those times, God pours out a lot of miracles to make a point, to say who he is, to show his identity, because we've forgotten. And so I look and see the reason why there's a lot of healings happening right now is not because we somehow are a very faithful place. It's because actually we're an unfaithful culture that is in need of God's mercy. And so you recognize this, that, like, if we want hope, we got to, like, turn to him, because he's calling really loudly. So we just need to respond to him so that he can actually do the work he wants to do in us.